This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show.
You and me, baby.
Lovely way to start a new show. That was You and Me, Penny and the Quarters. Yes, it's true. It's me. I'm back in the studio. You don't know that. You're just listening and thinking, oh, it's another bloody show. But I'm actually back. It's me, Hattie Ashdown. It's good to be back in an actual studio with an actual microphone and people in front of me. So I'm not on Zoom, which means I can play music again, which is lovely. So let's just get on with business. So today's topic is something I've not had to think about for a while and will never again, but I'm reminded every day as I slip and shove my poor saggy boobs into my bra. Yes, that's right. We're talking about stripping. No, we're talking about breastfeeding. So to discuss both our breastfeeding journey. I hate that word, but it's
so
appropriate,
so wanky,
isn't it?
Doesn't it? But
it's
that's
a guest,
what it is.
It's you can hear her. It's a guest I've never met before in real life, but like a lot of people, I feel I know her because I follow her on Instagram for a while, and apart from being very funny, she gives a very real and raw, honest look on parenting, and as we love on this show, just being an ace woman in this sea of shittiness sometimes that hits us mums. Her musical videos are, I'm going to say, quite a masterpiece that I don't give this praise lightly, that I think Victoria would approve of. She is a comedian, Instagram creator, mum of two. It's Victoria Eames.
Hello. Yay.
It's only me, I should say, because of we're in the studio in Soho. I'm not allowed to have more than one guest. So we've not got Gemma here. Not that she's a big clapper anyway. She just sort of goes, oh, yeah. Welcome, Victoria.
Hello. It's lovely to be here. Well, and to be in central London.
We're in the window of Soho Radio, sitting here like a couple of radio mannequins. Before we get into deep stuff, let's just warm up a bit with our little quick fire round. It's like a quick way of people getting to know you, and you're only allowed to give one answer.
Oh God!
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Pretty highbrow.
Uh huh.
Jeans or leggings?
Leggings always.
Girls' night out or date night?
Girls' night out.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know why I said yay. Okay, you're doing the middle of the night feed. Are you reading a book or are you on Amazon and then wake up in the morning, forgot everything you've ordered and it turns up?
Who the fuck is reading a book?
I have known of these.
Not my friends.
Leprechauns.
Yeah, I'm on Amazon. Amazon, definitely.
Amazon. A live music gig or a play?
Neither.
Chocolate or gin?
Oh, gin.
Yes, good girl. Welcome. I love that. What, you just don't like watching anything live?
No, live music, I just hate standing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just knackering, isn't it? I used to be into it when I was younger, but yeah. Now, forget it. Put a bloody CD on. Put a CD on. And then plays, I can't connect.
You can't.
Love film. Film is my forte. But yeah, not a play. Just, I don't, you know, you're far away from them. You can't look into their eyes. Oh. I just, the illusion is broken by them being right there. So
is
I can't,
it?
Yeah. So I can't like buy into it, whatever it is. The only good thing I've ever seen is War Horse.
Okay.
Yeah, I just love that horse so much.
I could buy that horse.
I'm really
horse.
Connected to that
the
horse.
The mechanical horse, I could buy that. So we'll get to all your Instagram and all of that, because I know people are probably nosy, as I am. Let's just go straight in. Did you always plan to breastfeed? So you've got two children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always. I took it for granted, actually. I just thought it would be something that would happen really naturally. And I'd have no issues. And actually, I was a judgmental piece of shit about people that didn't breastfeed. So I thought, oh, how dare you? How really? Dare you not breastfeed your child? Having absolutely no knowledge or experience of actually just how difficult it can
and
be.
And why do you think you all just, it was just a feeling you always wanted, or did like, you, did you have people around you? Like, did your mum breastfeed?
Yeah, that's... my mum breastfed. She, so there's four of us and...
Oh, same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. I'm the second youngest.
Okay.
I think we've probably got the good spots. Yeah.
You got better milk, probably. Yeah. I got the dregs, the dregs. Puffy white stuff. The milky white.
Anyway. Yeah, so my mum breastfed she didn't breastfeed my eldest sister. She had loads of problems and then bottle fed her, but she breastfed us. And like, she breastfed me till I was 19 months.
Wow.
So she was committed to it.
Yeah.
So I had that as like, you know, she's kind of the role model of, oh, well, mum did it, so I'll do it.
Mm.
She never really talked about what happened with her breastfeeding journey with my eldest sister. She didn't really talk about it that much. But she would often be like, you know, if my eldest sister didn't do something or did something wrong, she'd be like, oh, it's probably because she wasn't breastfed.
Oh,
you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think as well, just when you're preparing to have a baby and you do a lot of reading, or I did a lot of reading, and I didn't go to antenatal classes, but I did go to a hypnobirthing classes, and just all of the chat around breastfeeding. In fact, the chat is only ever about breastfeeding. No one ever talks about bottle feeding. And so
in hypnobirthing, don't they?
Yeah. No, it's just like, you know, it's all natural and whatever.
Yeah.
And everything that I'd read just made it sound so easy, and that, you know, it was just a case of practicing the latch or whatever, and then it would all just click into play. So that's what I was expecting to happen. But no, that did not happen for me.
That did not happen.
At all.
No. Go on then. Yeah, tell us what happened the first time then.
So the first time, I had a home birth with Oliver, my first child, and that was all like amazing. I fucking loved it. It was brilliant. I'd say I actually loved giving birth, and honestly, I would rather give birth than go through the breastfeeding experience that I had with him a million times over, because it was just so horrific. So he was born at home, no complications.
Don't mention that. We were talking about Sindhu V.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mention that to her, because I mentioned to her about some people have a really good experience of birth. You're like, I do not believe these people. They are not real. But I'm always like, I'm so heartened when I hear that, because they say it exists and it's like, you do exist.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I've got quite a... And the reason I had home birth was that my best mate had one, and she just loved it. And she said it was brilliant.
She sold it to you. In the pool?
Pool. Well, no, I had to get out of the pool in the end, because it started to drag. So, yeah, got out of the pool and then had him just, you know, still
this
in the house.
Dragging with, now. Yeah. Just get out of the pool.
A little bit fed up of this. Can I just get this fucking baby out of me? So, yeah, he just came out. Plop. There he was. And the midwife was amazing, and, you know, they stayed there, they cleaned up, whatever, stitched me up on the bed. Mm. So beautiful. This beautiful moment.
Moment.
And then they just left.
Did you have a soundtrack?
No, I didn't have a soundtrack. I found as soon as I started the contractions, I went into the zone.
Yeah, the soundtrack canon, I had a soundtrack, and sometimes I liked it and sometimes it annoyed me. So I'd go to my husband, can you skip this one?
Yeah.
It would like some song would just really annoy me. But I remember when I was stitching up, I think I've told this story so many times, sorry listeners, is when I was getting stitched up, I was at hospital, the soundtrack had gone on to something else, not my soundtrack.
Right.
And she's stitching me up and it went on to A Woman's Touch, Doris Day. And I was like... So perfect.
And one of the women at my hypnobirthing class, she said that she wanted to give birth to the Lion King soundtrack.
And did she?
I don't fucking know. I didn't stay friends with her.
No. She's off the WhatsApp group.
No, yeah, no thanks.
Okay, so you've got out, you've been stitched up, and then is the midwife all like, you're going to try and... feedback.
Yeah, so I had, so this really helped. I had an amazing relationship with my midwife. So that's one of the bonuses of having a home birth, is that you get assigned a midwife that stays with you from 20 weeks to birth.
Wow.
And she wasn't even on shift for the actual
time. So she just
gets
to stay
London.
The whole time.
But she came,
time.
Yeah, she came anyway, because we'd made friends and she was just so lovely. She was amazing. But she stayed and just made sure that we were all right. She saw Oliver like latch on or whatever. And then he just kind of went to sleep and we had a bit of a rest and whatever. And then the next day, I think for the first like 2 days, everything was fine. And I thought, oh, this is going so well. I'm loving it. I mean, I felt mental because my vagina was like a punched lasagna.
Yeah.
But it was still like, I was still in that nice oxytocin place of like, oh my God, this is so amazing, my baby. And we're having loads of skin on skin and all the stuff that you're supposed to do. And then about day three, just something happened to my tits. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, there were two massive rock hard boulders. And I started getting this thing, which I later found out was called vasospasms, which I'd never heard of.
I have never heard of that.
Oh, they are horrific. So if I took off my top to get my boob out, whatever, I had this rush of pain that would come from like my shoulders down my boobs, like out my nipples. Like, it felt like electric shocks. It was awful. And basically what was happening by this point, I'd gone back to my midwife and said, I think something's not right.
Yeah.
Because Oliver wasn't sleeping. Literally, he'd sleep for like half an hour, wake up, feed, but feed for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, right. Like really long feeds, really long, with tiny gaps in between. And she came and she had a look and she was like, I think it's all right. We can check him for tongue tie if you want. So we did that. And he had a tongue tie. So then it was like, let's get booked in for that and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it was horrific. It was like the worst pain that I've ever experienced with that, plus no sleep whatsoever. So I think by about day seven, I just was beside myself, like with exhaustion. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And to be honest, the thing is, and I really think this with breastfeeding, is that the expectation is there from the medical professionals, whatever, that you should do it. Mm. But then as soon as you've given birth, that's it.
Unfortunately.
You know, there's like monitoring all the way through pregnancy and then they just leave you. And the health visitors, in my experience, have been shit. So the health visitor came, and the thing was, everyone was saying it looks like he's latching on fine, so I don't know what the problem is. I was like, no, but this can't be right, because he obviously wasn't draining the milk. And then I got mastitis.
I was gonna say,
yeah, so that was my first bout of it, and just had that gigantic red swollen angry tit. So like, what's this again, a term that I'd never heard of.
Angry tit.
Yeah, angry tit. Well, I call my husband that quite frequently. But yeah, so we went to hospital and saw it was a young doctor, and had to kind of like reveal this horrible tit that just looked like something out of Alien. It was awful. Because it had all gone all like knobbly and had like big lumps and stuff in it. It was awful. And he just looked at him and was like, okay, you've got mastitis. But then he just said to me, why are you doing this exactly? Because at that point, no one had asked me if this was something that I actually wanted to do anymore.
And no one had, you wasn't like expressing or anything?
Not at that point. No one had said, why don't you try expressing to just take some of the milk out or whatever. So I hadn't done any of that.
Bless you.
I know. So, but you just don't know, do you?
Only because the first time, you know what? I'm just literally listening to you, Vicky, and thinking, I think that's what I fucking heard. But no one diagnosed because it sounds so bloody similar. And I remember, I remember my mum saying with the first child, she was like, "Is your milk coming in?" Because it was all right for, like you say, sort of 48 hours or something. But then I was like, in the middle of the night, it was almost like, oh, it's going on. They're so painful.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, yeah, but I had all sorts of conflicting advice. I had like someone say, drain the boobs, just drain them with these machines, which felt amazing. And I had this midwife with a hot flannel stroking my boobs, but it was so lovely. So she's stroking with hot. But then a couple of days later, when I'm out of hospital and stuff, other midwife was saying that was not a good thing to do because now the boobs think that's how much milk you got. Anyway.
Yeah, it's really confusing. And I think that's a massive part of the reason that we have such terrible breastfeeding rates in this country, is because the support is just not there to go beyond the first couple of days if you're in hospital or seeing the midwife and the health visitor or whatever.
Because it's not, they're so bloody busy.
I know. I don't blame them at all. It's not their fault. It's the fact that the government just don't put enough money into creating the support system.
And actually, here's a little bit of good news of COVID, is that my friend who's, I don't really know the official title, but she's a baby cuddler. In hospitals.
Oh, really? Oh, my God, what an amazing job.
I think it's like voluntary, I think. And she was working all over COVID as well. I said, are you still going in? And she was like, oh, yeah. She went, do you know what? It's brilliant. The hospital, the maternity wards are so quiet. She said, breastfeeding statistics, rates have gone up because there's no visitors. So there's no stress. And obviously maybe that means midwives have got more time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And just they're like, they're able to bond with the baby more. And I don't mean that like those that don't breastfeed don't bond with their baby, but you know what I mean, like just give it a bit more time. But I wonder if it's also because the midwife's just been able to give a bit more time. And she said, oh, the buzzer's not going. Normally the buzzer's going with visitors and you want this chair and all that. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
I had wondered that. Someone else that I just chat to on Instagram has said the same thing, because they work in breastfeeding support and they said in their area the rates have gone up. And maybe also because people then are just at home and you don't have that pressure to go out and have the coffees and meet your friends and all that stuff. It's just none of that. I don't know, maybe. But then equally, I just feel like I tried so much in that period of time with Oliver. So I managed to breastfeed him exclusively for the first 6 weeks.
Wow. And so only... what turned the corner then? What made it then more comfortable?
Stop in.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was only breastfeeding him, like, right, directly on my boob. I wasn't expressing or anything like that.
Right.
Wasn't giving him any formula. So he had his tongue tie snipped. We saw a lactation consultant. We saw a cranial osteopath who specialised in kids.
Yeah, I remember doing all that.
Oh, my God. Like, we just fucking thousands of pounds. We spent a lot of money trying to work it all out. And at the end of it, just none of it clicked. I mean, I was like on the hotline to Lilleschlag. Is that what they're called?
Lilleschlag, oh, yeah,
them. Yeah. 24/7 I had this woman who was so sweet,
yeah,
and came round. She only lived around the corner, so she come round. Like, she came round like every day for about 7 days. But they could not help me because it didn't solve the problem. There was still pain when I was feeding him. So every time he latched on, it was just excruciating pain.
Oh, I didn't have that.
Oh my God, it was
relief
horrendous.
When they fed. So okay.
No, maybe. So it was like my nipples, and then they got so mangled.
Oh my God.
That it was like they're just
I'm getting
bits
so turned on right now.
Oh no, I bet. They were like hanging off. There was like bits of my nipple hanging off. They were bleeding. They were pussy. Like they were. It was just awful. It was so demoralising. And I just felt like a massive failure more than anything else because of all this stuff that I'd had about.
And all your hormones are going mad as well.
Exactly.
So you're sleep deprived. So you're going to the toilet.
I know.
Thing.
Just fucking work out of sleep. And I used to sit there feeding Oliver and Rob, my husband, would be in the bed opposite, like on the other side of the room. And I'd just be staring at him, just fucking hating him, being like, fuck you. You get to sleep, you selfish bastard. You know?
But I'm going to put a track on because after this, so I know there's a bit of a happy ending.
Yes, there is a happy ending, yeah.
So hold tight, people. Should we have another? Let's have another one. So that earlier track that we started to show off with was one of Vicky's choices. So this is one of your other ones. Is it Who Do You Love? That's one of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Any particular reason you chose this? Just I forgot to say, we're having a bit of a Northern Soul show today. I forgot to say that because over lockdown, I was doing a bit of a Northern Soul dance every day.
Yeah, I was loving it. I was absolutely loving it. That's where I heard one of these songs was from you dancing to it. Yeah, and then I saved it on my spot. I was like, oh, that's so nice.
I just love it. I don't know. One day I was just like, just made me feel loads better. And it just gives you a focus over lockdown, didn't it? So I don't know, a bit twatty. But every day, I don't think our producer knows this. Yeah, I did a little Northern Soul dance every day, like a twat. Just put it up. And yeah. And so we were chatting online about it. And I said, let's all just have a Northern Soul theme today. So there we go. This is the Sapphires. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. I'm Hattie Ashton and I'm here with Victoria, or she likes to be called Vicky Eames, and we're talking breasts.
I liked that.
Did you? Well, we're talking breastfeeding, of course. And for anyone listening so far and thinking, you are scaring the hell out of me.
Yeah, it's hard not to talk about it without feeling a bit bad that you're like doing a bit of scaremongering, but...
This doesn't happen. Everyone is different, obviously, all our boobs.
It's the same as birth, isn't it? It's like I had a really positive birth experience, but I know that's lots of people that have had not so positive birth experiences, so just never know what you're going to get dealt.
Exactly. But you found, and this is what I found along the way, was, but not in the same way that you did, that you basically then turned to expressing.
Yeah.
And you found that combi feeding was the
key to maintaining a bit of breastfeeding and feeding my baby, but not having to endure the little piranha latching on.
So you were
50,000 times a day
breastfeeding, as in he wasn't having anything on the boobs; he was just having it at the bottle.
Yeah, so I would pump. So this is probably about after. So after about 6 weeks of all of this stuff going on, and I had 2 bouts of mastitis in that time, so it was really full on physically. Because if you've never had it, it's like the flu times a million. It's awful. So I've been on antibiotics for that, whatever. And then we got thrush, just so many things went wrong. It's like, for fuck's sake. And then I went to a support group for mums thing that was around feeding. And one of the mums there had said to me, I exclusively fed my baby. So I'd never even heard of that as an option or whatever. Did I just say pump then or breastfeed?
You said exclusively fed her baby.
Exclusively. Well, you should definitely exclusively feed your baby.
Okay. I knew what you meant.
This is my mum brain. It's like, hello?
It's the first time out of the house.
Yes. Yeah, you're the first person I've spoken to other than my husband. Amazing. You must feel
so
honoured.
I feel so honoured. I didn't even get to hug her, which is a shame.
No, she said exclusively pump.
Right.
And then bottle feed with the Express Milk. So she did that for like a year. So I borrowed her pump and I started trying that. And it was like, it was fucking amazing because I finally got to have a break from just feeding all the time. Because it is relentless in those first, I'd say like the first like 3 months really, on and off. Like they just feed a lot, don't they?
Yeah.
And
my first one and the second one not as much was weird though. You're gonna hate me for this. A lot of people hate me for this. He just would feed for like 20. I don't know if this radio show goes out to the reception. What must happen? He would like feed for 20 minutes and then come off. And I was reading all the books going, what the fuck, what's going on? Because they were saying at least feed for 40 minutes. But the midwives again, they assured me.
And all babies are different.
She said, you must have the good stuff. She said, you must have full fat stuff and he's getting what he needs. And I was like, well, he's putting on weight. So
it was fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that didn't... I think as well with Oliver, because the latch was just so messed up. It was like, it was never... He was never going to get enough milk.
See, that's the key.
Feeding directly off my...
I had the latch
boobs.
Problem. That was the thing. I was doing the same, contacting like the specialist going, I do the baseball.
Yeah,
the
all
baseball
that stuff.
Under the arm. And yeah, that was the worst bit for me. I guess you didn't experience... did you have to like pump in public and stuff like that then?
Yeah, I have pumped in public actually, but not with Oliver. I've done it with Edith because...
Well, we're jumping ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're jumping ahead, but I had like a hands-free pump from LV, which was amazing. That thing was incredible. So I've pumped loads in public because it's so discreet. You just pop
it
in your
like
bra. There's no wires or anything like that. It's literally just in there. It's virtually silent, you can't hear it, so I used that a lot with her.
Great.
And because I did combi feed her from birth,
so go on.
So after the 6 weeks of hell, it just got to a point where I was a wreck and I was definitely starting to head down the postnatal depression path, because it was just, I felt a failure. I didn't know what to do. I felt like there was no support, there was no resolution, and the only option was to just stop and to bottle feed him but with formula. And at that time, I was so like blinkered about that. I felt like I didn't want to do that because that would make me a really terrible mother, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I can see that now, retrospectively. But in the time when you're in it, it consumes you. It's just awful. So it was actually my husband that made me stop in the end, because he was just like, "You've cried solidly for 7 days. You need to stop. This needs to stop. This is not healthy for you." I wasn't bonding with Oliver at all. Yeah. I dreaded every single feed. I didn't want him to be on me. And then the whole time he was on me, I was in agony. So I was like, oh, this baby, just get him fucking away from me.
Outside person, don't you? Just right.
Enough is enough.
Yeah, women do, and fair enough, if you're feeding okay and you don't want formula, great, good for you. But if you need formula, don't beat yourself up.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's like, it's designed to feed your baby. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not, people say it's poison, and it's not poison.
I mean,
it's just an alternative.
Premature babies, it saves their bloody life.
Oh no, people are ridiculous about it. But there you go. It's hard not to take on other people's opinions when you're a new mum, because you just don't know what you're doing and you feel so unsure of yourself.
What was your mum saying throughout this time then?
My mum was. My mum kept saying, "Just keep going, just persevering. It's right. The first bit is really hard, but it will get better. It will get better."
And I think that's what my mum said.
Yeah,
as well.
And I found with Edith that did apply because I approached it slightly differently.
Did you?
I didn't feed her at my boob as much right. as I had Oliver, because I mixed it up with combi feeding from birth.
But when she came out, and did you have another home birth?
I had another home
did
birth.
You?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It all went.
It was all fine. Yeah,
all went swimming.
It all went swimming. although my husband was swimming in shit afterwards.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
get the little fishing
a lot quads. Of poo. Again, though, I didn't bloody. We had the pool all set up, and then I was like, "Oh, I just need to do a shit before the baby comes." And went upstairs, and then I had the baby on the toilet.
Did you?
Yeah,
like,
she fucking shot out. It was so quick. It was it was crazy. It was so different from my first birth that actually, if I think I'd had that second birth with the first one, I would have been really nervous about having
really?
A home birth, because it was so quick, and the pain was. Like Oliver was just really slow. He came out really slowly, but she.
I've heard this. Everybody has this thing about, you know, I do the lunchtime comedy clubs where people bring their babies, and constantly the thing is about, I was in labour for, you know, 10 hours and 20 hours. And everyone goes, oh no, that's awful. But then I've heard, a woman I used to work for, she had three children, and the last one, she said, was 20 minutes, and she said it was frightening.
Yeah.
And I guess I was like...
Yeah, apparently second babies are quicker. So the lead-up was longer than Oliver. I got to, like, fully dilated within 2.5 hours with him, but then the pushing stage was 5.5 hours. But with Edith, it was, like, a longer stretch. And then from the active labour, from when they noted it on the paperwork, was 17 minutes.
Wow.
So it was insane. Rob was just like, I've never seen anything like it.
Really?
Yeah, because my whole body was trying to get rid of her. So I was like going, blah, blah, like that. And then but I wasn't being sick. I was just making those noises.
Would you like to watch someone else? I would love to
I'd love to watch my birth.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we'd filmed it. Yeah. I'd be so interested just to see. Because it's so hard to know what I would look like or how it would sound or anything like that, because you're just in it. And then you forget. I feel like, we forget so that we keep having babies.
I feel like I haven't forgot. I've sort of ingrained it. But yeah, I know what you mean. But I'd love to. Now I can see why my sisters, with my other sisters, were like jumping on the chance. Which went, would you be my birthing partner? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is when I was younger, because they're a lot older than me, and I'm like, oh, I get it now.
I'd love to be someone's birth partner.
Fascinating.
I did think about being a doula at one point, but it's not a very easy schedule to manage.
No, you've got to be available all hours.
Yeah, all hours. Can't have a drink or anything like that in case someone goes into labour.
Yeah.
That sucks. That,
and, sorry, yeah, I can't come. I've had too many jeans.
Oh my God, I love you. Turn up just thinking of booze.
That might be what they need. let's bring us up. So with Edith, a much more positive experience, I guess, with hindsight and everything.
Yeah.
So, but did you latch her on straight away, or was you like, no,
I did.
So
I had to go into the hospital to have stitches because she tore me a new
one.
So I went into hospital for that. And then in the hospital, she started getting hungry, and I was really anxious about feeding her. So I was like, oh God, I don't really want that. Because I hadn't decided whether I was going to breastfeed or not.
Really?
You were giving yourself
that choice.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not sure. Let's see how it goes. But I just knew that I wasn't going to put pressure on myself like I did the last time. And I felt like if it doesn't go to plan, I have no issue with just going straight to formula. It'll be fine. So I did latch her on, and the first couple of feeds and stuff I latched on, and it just started hurting almost immediately. So I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing it. So then she had quite a few formula feeds, but I started pumping because I thought, okay, you know what? I read so much after I had Oliver, and I actually understood the physiology of how our breasts produce milk. So I knew what to do to like mimic the natural feeding pattern to just have an established milk supply. So that's what I did. I like pumped and I fed her and formula fed her over those first 2 weeks. But it felt to me, that's a lot of people like, wow, that's so much work.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, because it was so freeing compared to my previous experience. And it meant also that I got to go to sleep.
Yes.
So after the birth, Rob fed her. I went to sleep for 8 hours.
Ugh.
I know, like, when does that happen? That's so important for the mum's recovery after what you've just been through physically and mentally.
Yeah.
So I did that and we woke up and was like, I'm a new woman. You know, it was like, great.
Oh, so good.
And then literally after about 3 weeks of doing the combination of the kind of those three things, I latched Edith on and it just didn't hurt. It just did not hurt, which I was like,
so
oh,
how long
wow.
was this then?
That was 3 weeks into it.
It's weird, isn't it? Oh my God.
But in between, you know, when it had been hurting, I'd been giving my nips a massive break and just pumping rather than feeding her and used silver nipple bullets. Oh my God, they were so good. I don't know if they're called that. That sounds too sexy.
It does. What, like a shield?
Yeah, shield. Yeah. But it's made out of silver. It's amazing.
I know it's in the crappy plastic ones, but
no.
Vicky's
so you don't
ones.
Like put them on to feed. You put them on in between feeds, and they heal like
stuff.
A motherfucker. It's amazing. So look, silver's put into dressings and stuff because it just aids. There's something in it that aids our skin to heal, and they were life changing. They were brilliant. I'd recommend them. You can get them on Amazon.
Gosh.
One of those Amazon late night shops.
Online shops are available. Yeah. Oh my God. See, I didn't have. I really feel for you because I didn't have the I definitely think I started to get a bit of the mastitis, like it was going really hard and I had all that thing. But my main thing was just feeling like, I remember when I had my first and I was in hospital and I just went ping, my eyes went open. I went, what's happened? And obviously the milk was coming in, but I didn't know. I was on my own. I was terrified. And I remember walking up like a penguin, as you do, walking up, trying to find a midwife. It's the middle of the night going, I don't know what's happening.
Oh.
And it's really unfortunate. I got not a very good midwife. I don't even think she was a proper midwife. I think it was the cleaner, honestly. I don't think she did said, oh, take these pipettes. She gave me like these little pipettes things. And she said I had to like syringe the milk
yeah.
out.
Okay.
But she didn't really show me how
had
to do
it.
Yeah. So I'm there like crying, trying to do it. My husband was asleep in the chair next to me, but I didn't want to, I know it sounds silly, but you know, when you're just like, he's been up. I know I've been up, but.
Oh, poor you.
I know. But
that labour must have been so hard for you, darling.
Oh God, don't even get me started. He just never sat down. So like, he just like couldn't sit down because his like legs had like frozen. It was quite no sympathy there, of course. But yeah, so I had all that, and then when I got home, then as I say, the woman drained them, and that was all good. But then it all came back, and I don't know whether I should have just been doing little and often rather than a whole draining and stuff. And I did all the cabbage and all that
stuff.
But so the second time was much less painful.
It wasn't to begin with. It was really painful at the beginning.
Right.
But I think it was because I just allowed myself to have some breaks from breastfeeding and letting my body heal in between feeds. So I would probably like feed her on my boob twice a day, and the other times I'd pump, and then she'd always have like a formula feed at her bedtime. And then, like I say, at 3 weeks, just the pain stopped. It was bizarre. It was like, it happened like that, like instantly. As I woke up, fed her, I was like, oh my God, this doesn't hurt. And at that point, it was like, right, well, I can do a hell of a lot more breastfeeding now. So I did. And then the pattern that we got into was I breastfed in the day and stopped at about 6. And then we did expressed milk in the night with formula too. So we shared nights. Like we did one night on, one night off, and one of us would sleep on the sofa bed for a full night's sleep, and we took it in turns. And just the whole experience was just brilliant. And I personally recommend combi feeding to absolutely every mum that I meet now, if that's something that they want to do.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that no one tells you about breastfeeding is just how like suffocating it can be, because you have to do it all the time. I mean, you say you only had 20 minute feed, so you're quite lucky.
I was lucky now. But it did still feel like people come around and a certain, you know, brother-in-laws, I think, felt a bit embarrassed, and then you have to go out of the room, and it's all that kind of stuff. And
I felt it just stifled my freedom a bit, like, so I felt tied to this baby, and then felt guilty for feeling that, because it's like, well, I'm a mother, so I shouldn't feel that. I should just be selfless now. But I wasn't, you know, I needed to have that time on my own. And also for Rob, he bonded with her so much more than he bonded with Oliver, because he hardly got a look in with Oliver for that first bit, because he was just on me the whole time. But, you know, Rob did all of that stuff in the beginning, and when she was a really tiny baby, and he loved it. He really, really like enjoyed getting
That's
to feed
so nice.
Her and do the night feeds and all that sort of stuff.
I remember I didn't have the... I wish I'd had that EV. Is it called EV? The
LV, yeah.
LV. That's why I'm going wrong. I'm ordering the wrong thing. But my friend, I think he was about 3 months old, and she said, I want to take you away to for a night at the spa. And Alex, from the beginning, really good dad, not one of those dads that was stressed at that idea. He was like, yeah, go. I was like, well, I'm going to have to pump, aren't I? And you're do all formula. And I did leave him with some stuff, but he did mixture. And but course, I just have one of these like hand pumps. And so, you know, I'd be in a steam room because steam would set it
off.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, of course.
I'd have to go out, pump, pump, pump. I had to pump on the train. At one point, I was in pain. I said to my friend, I'm so sorry. I've got to just do it.
Oh.
Just, like, have a T-shirt and, yeah. But it does feel good in a way. Although, and that's what I'm going to put a track on when I get to now. The end is here, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's no more breastfeeding.
No, I know. So I fed Edith for 11 and a bit months
we did
in the
so
end.
Wow, so good.
But I wasn't sorry to say goodbye.
Wasn't you?
No.
Let's have now. I forgot which is yours. I'm a Good Woman. Is that another one of yours? Yes, I'm a Good Woman by Barbara Lee. And you're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio. Here we go.
You leave your home for days and days.
Oh, I'm a good woman. We're all good women. That was Good Woman, Barbara Lynn. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio. We're back in the studio for the Other Woman show. We're still talking breasts and breastfeeding, but I'm Hattie Asham and I'm talking to Victoria Eames, and we're kind of wrapping things up, which is appropriate because it's now all over for both of us.
No.
We won't be breastfeeding again.
Ever again.
And Victoria did a very funny video, as she does on Instagram. Oh my God, we've got to try and fit in Instagram as well. About the, you know, finishing your journey. So you don't feel sad at all. But you, in your video, you're kind of a bit melancholy.
Yeah, I think I feel more sad about how much I beat myself up about it.
Right, okay,
and
yeah.
And I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy Oliver at all for the first 6 weeks of his life, and that's probably where my sadness lies more than anything. But I mean, you know, I've done both. I've bottle and breastfed, and I know that a lot of people are like, oh, you just can't recreate that bond of the breastfeed. I don't agree with that at all. It's bullshit.
When you sit down, you've got the bottles, they're
looking
into your
eyes. You can look directly into their face.
Yeah, you can't
hold them in the same way. Yeah, so I think that's bollocks. But I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of... I did enjoy it with Edith, and I'm so glad that it worked out the way that it did, because I think I would have carried that regret and sadness, and it's a grief, basically. There is such a thing as breastfeeding grief.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know, I feel like going through that process of hers, it was quite cathartic for me to feel like I undid the sadness and whatever of the past, so...
Ready to just... That's
now
it.
They are locked away.
They're locked away because we're not going to. So, no more children.
No more children. My husband's had the snip. Oh, yeah. Made a video about that as well.
I think I remember now. Not obviously not the actual video of the actual operation.
It was the chim chimney.
Oh.
Snip snippity. Snip snip.
I've talked to you about that off air. I really want my husband to get it.
Just makes
hassle,
life easier,
it?
Yeah. I mean, we never have sex, but I'm a lazy cow, so.
So same here. I don't want any more children. Maybe if I was younger, I might have done. But I don't. Yeah. Oh no, my body couldn't take it. But yeah, it was. I think I was sadder with the last one, but that is because you know it's your last.
Exactly.
Child,
you do with everything, even when it's so ridiculous. But like when she moves up a clothes age, because you know when they're little, it's only ever 6 months. When she moves up a clothes age, I'm like, like packing away these little
packing
clothes
away
and thinking,
the charity
oh,
shop.
God, yeah.
Rather than just.
Putting it in the loft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was in like a little suitcase, and my husband would go, oh, should we give that to so-and-so? Because he wasn't sure he wanted another one.
Yeah.
So he was like, should we give that? So I go, no, yeah. And just sort of hide it away because I was always like.
Well, that's so funny. My husband didn't want another one either.
Really?
Yeah. But I was like, oh, surprise, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
Entrapment. It's true love, that.
You should have seen his face. Oh my God, it was a pow when I told you. It's such a different. I hate saying this because I'd hope for Buster to hear in years to come, but with Hux, it was so different. It was like, hey, like this with the pregnancy test. And then with Buster, it was like,
shit.
I went, okay, you better sit down. And I was like,
do you need a paper bag to breathe into?
Yeah. But it's so funny that now Buster's come out. It's like a little mini him. He looks just like him.
Oh my God, yeah. Rob, Edith is. by far his favourite.
Is she?
Yeah, 100%. They have like this really sweet little bond. And I do wonder if a lot of it's to do with the feeding stuff in the early days sometimes. Yeah. But he just adores her. It's sickening.
Oh, that's so nice. So we're going to be finishing up in a minute. For those who don't know, so you're what they now call an Instagram creator.
Yeah, content creator.
Content creator. And
which means fucking bollocks.
I'm jealous of your job, basically. And so how did the hell did that start? Was you talking about furniture, is that right?
Yeah, so I started it 3 years ago when I was on maternity leave with Oliver. He was about 6 months old and I was going out of my mind with boredom because I found that early, like the first year of motherhood is dull as anything, and it's all just baby. You can't even have a conversation with them or anything. I love them, like don't get me wrong, of course, I love my children, but I just struggle with it because I'm quite a creative person and I need to be stimulated mentally in some way. So my friend suggested it. She said, oh, why don't you set up an Instagram account and just share pictures of your house? Because that's what people do. And I was like, really? That sounds fucking shit, but all right then. So I went onto Instagram, looked at like the interior scene on there or whatever, and then just started posting. And probably after about 3 or 4 weeks, and it was very much like, ew, well, this is my sideboard. Isn't it lovely? Right. And I was just like, who's this? Because it wasn't, you know, it's just very nice. And that's not really the way I view myself. But then I just ran. I remember because I was hungover and I wrote a caption that said something about being hungover with a baby. And it was funny.
Yeah.
And it just got like more of a response than my normal stuff. It's like, oh, okay. So maybe there is like an audience here to just be a bit more myself.
Yeah.
So that was it then. That was like the card to just, you know, keep
you found your voice spewing
out. Yeah. The realness.
But that's the thing, isn't it? I don't know about you. My first experience of Instagram was like, it was just all nice photos.
Yeah.
And I quite liked it in those days, but then it got a bit yummy mummy in terms
very
of mummy
so.
Stuff, putting up perfect nurseries.
Yep.
You know, this is what we've done with the nursery, all kind of thing. And then, so for me, coming across people like you, it's like, oh, relief. Although you do have a very nice house still.
Well, I just like interior stuff, you know. I mean, it looks like a shithole, but it is decorated nicely. Yeah. But so I was still doing the interiors pictures up until about a year ago. But it was always my captions and my stories were just me chatting on stories.
Yeah.
Chatting the normal bollocks that I chat. And then the captions were the same sort of
amazing
thing. And I just got bored of it. And I was pregnant with Edith and did a gender reveal that was shooting a confetti out my vagina with a baby then being lobbed out of it. Yeah. So that was like the first video that I ever really did. Yeah. And it went mental. I didn't even put it on my grid because it was like, oh no, can interrupt the interiors flow.
Right.
But in stories, and then it was kind of like hidden behind an interiors pic, swipe by whatever. It just went mental. So I was a bit like, okay, I really enjoyed doing that. It was so much fun. Me and Rob filmed it together and just, the reaction, it spurred me on. So from that point, I started doing more like funny video content. And then just before I had Eva, I was like, fuck this, I'm not doing interiors.
What, have you got performance background? Because
no, not at all.
No, really?
No.
Honestly, you're so
honestly,
funny.
You're such a show off.
Are you sure you didn't go to drama school? But I love that though. I just love I just love that.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because I'm not a confident person at all. And the idea of like doing stand-up, for example, like you do, I just could never do it. It makes me want to vomit thinking about it.
Oh, you'd be great.
But that's what people say, but I know how badly I react to like being in front of a crowd.
So do you think when the safety of a screen, it's like...
It's different. It's so different. And although I've got a lot of followers, when I do my stories and I'm there with like my fucking massive fanny out and no bra on and no makeup, I'm not thinking 140,000 people look at this. It's just me to my phone, you know.
Yeah.
It's really weird. I mean, if anything, it's probably quite dangerous because the shit I come out with, I'm like, oh my god, I've revealed so much about everything. Whoops.
That's interesting. And we before we run out of time, we should I think we're right for time actually. Just made me think about so it's Laura that you do your podcast with, and I forgot to bloody mention it at the top of the show. I'm so sorry. Or did I mention it? No holes barred. She's like, no, I took note that you didn't mention it.
You must mention the podcast.
And it's Laura, isn't it?
It's Laura, who's knee deep in life on Instagram.
And saw that she'd done, this is jumping things, but I remember her putting up a video ages ago of her doing like a little live thing, like she was just talking to some people. And so how did she, has she ever done stand-up or anything?
She hasn't done it either. So Laura is, so this is the amazing thing about Instagram, there's a lot of wankers on it. And there's a lot of like false bullshit friendships, and that's all just cliquey and it's bollocks. But Laura is one of those women that we met through Instagram, and I stalked her for ages and made her be
just
my friend.
Just commenting on each other's posts.
Well, no, she didn't know who I was, but I just kept like, I loved her. So I would share her all the time and I'd comment on her.
You grinded her down. I
basically stalked her into being my best friend. And then weirdly, someone that we both follow, set who is friends with Laura, said to Laura, you need to follow Victoria. So then she like looked, saw my messages and stuff, and then we just started chatting. And then whatever happened, she was like, oh, do you want my number? I got onto WhatsApp, and then that was it. We had about 3 weeks of this mad intense romance where we were just sending voice notes to each other, like 4 hour long voice notes, like, yeah, and then I was thinking about this, and I just realized that you're such an amazing person, all this bollocks. And we decided, oh, let's do a podcast, because she has exactly the same sense of humour as I do. I don't even know what the question was. Was there a question?
I can't remember. I was just, it was one of those, you know, when you think, actually, that's a question for
Oh, she does
air.
Stand up.
But she no, does, no.
So she hasn't. So
how
she,
did she find that experience? Did that make her want to do?
So I think Laura's a lot more confident in front of people than I am.
Yeah.
So she loved it. I went to that. She did like a little, it was a talk, I suppose.
Yeah, it was a talk in like a bookshop
Wasn't yeah. It? So I went to that, and that was that the first time I met her? That was potentially the first time I ever met her. I just, she knew I was coming. I didn't just turn up with like her face tattooed on my chest.
Hi, it's me.
It's me, your best friend.
Security, that woman that's been messaging me.
And she was amazing. She was just like so natural. And she's done lots of things where she's gone on like TV, GMTV and stuff like that. You know, she's just like, she's
those
just
don't
really
know.
Good
she
at
does
it.
Like, how would you describe it? So she find like a sexy video,
like a ridiculously video.
Unachievable woman, you know. I think one of the first ones that I saw was where it was that a woman getting a buggy out of the car,
yeah,
in heels, wearing like a leotard basically,
yeah,
and then being able to flip open the buggy with her heel. And Laura did like a parody of it. It was obviously very, very funny.
It's very funny. Yeah, and she's just massively about self-confidence and having positive body image and generally just like championing people with vaginas. That's what she does. She's brilliant.
What we do.
Yeah, it's what you do.
Oh, one day when she comes down, when there's less COVID.
Just seems slightly less COVID.
I'm just used to saying that to the kids at the moment. We're saying off air, weren't we, about like, it's really confusing for the kids now because some things are open. And mine's like, he's 4 and he's like, is it gone now? And so I have to say to him, there's like less of it.
Yeah, it's really confusing.
But there's not less of it really. Well, there kind of is.
So stop licking that swing. As mine does.
Well, the great thing is I do just say, you know, I go, well, it's getting less because we keep washing our hands.
Oh, that's good.
So keep,
I'll use that because mine refuses to wash his hands. It's like an absolute battle to get him to do it.
Yeah, I've had that, but now he's gone the other way where it just takes ages. It's okay, it says 20 seconds. You don't have to do 20 hours, but I can't complain, can I? But it is, I mean, one thing, we're taking them to the parks. They think they're in fucking Disney World because just going on a swing.
Wow, what's this?
So tune into your podcast. So how would you describe what your podcast is then?
Two fucking slags. So it's got, we take listeners' stories, which often tend to be sexual shit. When I say shit, I mean literal shit. There's so many poo and sex stories that we get.
Really?
It's insane. So many.
I've not had a poo sex
I've not,
experience.
No, me neither. But it's
have.
Very common.
Will? It's just keeping quiet. So it's a lot of confessional.
It's very confessional. Everyone, you know, we don't reveal anyone's identity or anything like that. And we just then chat about the story and bring it back to like our own sort of experiences and things, and it's hilarious. If I say so myself, I say it's hilarious because Laura makes me laugh so much, and the stuff that she comes out with is comedy gold.
I bet. I'm gonna feel like I want. I know the recent one was about having names for men's private.
That's
parts.
Right, Bernard and his mafias.
Yeah. I've not gone down that road. Ever.
Oh my god, I'm the queen of it.
Really?
Yeah, I think I just find it's like a just nice little hobby, isn't it?
Did you, you know, like when you're accidentally talking about an ex or something, just like say that.
Just slip it in.
I don't want to give too much away. They've got to come and they've got to listen to it. But it's done really, really well, hasn't it? Was it like number one in the comedy charts?
It, it went to number one in the comedy charts when we released it, which is mental. And I think it's still in the top 10 now.
Of course it bloody is.
I had to check.
Because between you, you've got like a million followers or something.
Yeah, well, I've got hardly any. Laura's got about 1.5 million across Facebook and Instagram. And then I just pretty much just have Instagram. So I'm like a tiny little dot compared to her.
No, you got a blue tick, love.
I got a blue tick. Got a fucking blue tick.
She
yeah.
got a blue tick. So just very quickly, we always end the show now on, I might drop it though, but I'll see how good you do it.
No pressure.
No pressure. No, I'm joking. Is because we've been knocked in and thinking about just what we wanted to go out, was your perfect night, child-free, of course, night out within the sort of realistic realms. You know, you can't be riding off on a unicorn or something.
Damn it.
Damn it.
Well, I
what
need
to... What
would
you be eating? Who are you with?
Oh, really? Just not me and... So, other people?
You don't have to have other people.
Okay.
If you want a night out just on your own, love,
yeah,
you
I
can.
Know. I'm just going to go and sit in a black, dark room and listen to the whales singing.
If that's
no.
what you do. Whatever you want. This
I need
is your
to just
dream
know.
Night.
This is very important when you yeah. have a child-free night. Do you also have a child-free morning the next day?
Ooh, that's... No one has asked that, and that's such a good question.
Oh, God,
because
that is actually essential.
If you can't
essential.
Have that, what's the point? Yeah, okay, we'll throw all that right. in with the condition.
We have to pick them up at 12. That sounds...
No, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, oh, 4 o'clock, even better. Right, we're going large.
Yeah, go large.
Well, what tends to happen when me and my husband have a night together out, because it's very, very rare, is that we start drinking at about 2 p.m., as soon as the children are out of sight, and by 7 o'clock we're dancing on a pub table, and I'm normally made best friends with a barman and telling someone to fuck off because they're a cunt.
Yay! So you've been with your husband, you want to be with anyone
else?
Yeah,
I want to be with him. I think I'd like my best friend. We've got like a couple best friends.
Oh, that's
John
nice.
And Leanne.
So you might
we'll
meet
them
up
there.
With John and Leanne later.
Yeah, because they're hilarious, but they're very dangerous, so if we're with them we're 100% gonna absolutely get wrecked.
Bad influence.
Yeah, but I think go and have some really nice food. You know, 5-star Michelin, oh, Michelin yeah. star actually. Let's go super
Michelin
posh.
Michelin man.
And then, yeah, so maybe some drinks somewhere, and definitely dancing,
gorgeous.
But living room dancing.
You don't like going to a club?
I hate it. I'm a granny. It's
what,
too loud.
I know what you mean. I'm with
smells,
you. But what about
fart.
Like in a pub or like when, you know, in the pub just has a bit of a DJ?
Yeah.
Like small standards.
Maybe there's a lock-in and there's not yeah. that many people there and they've got a really banging DJ.
But really, you'd rather go back to someone's house.
Yeah, go back to someone's house music. And put on your own music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that kind
you.
Of thing.
Clubs, shouting,
oh,
and
it's
dancing.
Awful. You can't talk to anyone.
No.
No.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to play out with a song, with a track. So anything else you want to... promote yourself and your podcast, really.
That's
isn't it?
It yeah
that's all I'm combi doing. Breastfeeding
and combi breastfeeding yeah
thank you so much.
Oh, it's been lovely.
It's been honestly she's really nice in real life as well.
Just whisper it,
you know, when you're just like really worried, you think, oh god,
oh no, I've had that so many times because you Have meet you? People that you follow on Instagram who you really like,
you're just exactly the same,
like please be nice. Yeah, because it doesn't always happen. And then you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Now I hate you.
So, okay. This one was one that I did one day on one of my COVID Northern Soul dancing days. And we're all now in orbit that we've... it's such a bad radio link that we've had Victoria on. Thank you very much, Victoria, for coming in. I've been Hattie Ashdown. This is In Orbit by Joy Lovejoy.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.